Good morning, church. It's good to have you all with us today. And we have been, over the last several months now, been just preaching through the Bible, just taking one lesson out of each book and just kind of hitting a highlight and sharing with you that as we go through the Bible. We are in the book of Leviticus today, if you want to turn there. We'll be in chapter 8, more specifically. There was a preacher that recently had quit the ministry after more than 20 years of faithful, dedicated service, and he decided that he wanted to become a funeral director. When asked about the change of vocations, he said this. He says, I spent 20 years with one congregation. I spent 10 years of that trying to straighten out Bill, and Bill's still an alcoholic. Then I spent 3.5 years trying to straighten out Harold and Susan's marriage problems, and they still ended up getting a divorce. Later, I tried for 2 years to help Bob kick his drug habit, and Bob's still addicted to drugs. Now at the funeral home, when I straighten them out, they stay straight. Please understand, this morning, as I share this message, I'm only hoping to help each and every one of us, including myself, to get straightened out. And that's usually what I think of when I think of this passage in Leviticus chapter 8, verses 22 through 24 is what we're going to be looking at here this morning. And you may not know that text specifically, but I think you know the premise behind it. And here's how it reads. Then he presented the second ram, and it was the ram of ordination, or the ram of consecration. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, and Moses slaughtered it, and took some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear. I thought about heading out to the slaughterhouse this week and getting some blood for more of effect, but, you know, I thought we'd just leave that there. But anyway, so they took the blood and they put it on Aaron's right ear and on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot. He also had Aaron's sons come near, and Moses put some of the blood on the lobe of their right ear and on the thumb of their right hand and on the big toe of their right foot, and Moses then sprinkled the rest of the blood around the altar. As we see here, this is a time taking place here of what's called ordination, or the setting apart of a group of individuals, as we would see here, Aaron being set apart in his service, and the sons of Aaron being set apart. It would seem that to a very large extent, all that preceded was but preliminary to the offering of the lamb, to the ram of consecration. As you can go in there and read much of Leviticus chapters, anything from about chapter 1 to chapter 12 talks about this. It has been well observed that this is the priest's trespass offering. And we're kind of removed and detached from some of this understanding today, but you'd try to think what thoughts would be on the mind of the priest as he laid his hand upon the head of the ram. This is a stinky animal, right? Is that what? Hope it don't run away. Oh, you know, what would be going on, you know? But you have to, it's much like our time that we just came through of the Lord's Supper. You have to fight off all the distractions and get to the seriousness of the point. And he must have to identify with the animal. He's saying, you know, I am the one that's being offered. This animal is really taking my place. And that's why we find in Hebrews, when it makes reference to the blood of bulls and goats. That there's something more precious than that. That's the blood of Jesus. But more than this, he sees himself being given, himself being sacrificed in service of the priesthood. I am reminded as well, as we look into the New Testament, the Apostle Peter, as he reminds us that all Christians are of the royal priesthood of Jesus Christ. For us today, a life lived as a Christian in service to our Lord, and in this most dramatic manner, the whole person is dedicated to the service of God and of man. That is a quote taken out of the College Press commentary. And I think that we many times forget that, at least sometimes I do. I know I get caught up in things, that we know that we're set apart as a service to God, but we are also set apart as a service to our fellow man. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Says, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus is Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake." As your bondservants. I am a bondservant to you. I am a slave to you and you to me because of Jesus Christ. "For God, who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." There's a setting apart. And in Leviticus here, we're talking about this setting apart as Aaron is as high priest, as those that would be helping him, his four sons at this time, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, being set aside for this service, being set aside for the work of the Lord, being set aside to a dedicated work. There are times, I'm sure, that we all wake up and feel like, I don't want to do that today. But we don't have that opportunity as a Christian. We still have to be a Christian. We can't say, I'm taking the day off. It can't happen. And this is kind of a reminder to us in that situation. And they pick three things, three parts of the human body for us to be reminded of this. And it starts, first one, with the ear. And I think it's important that it starts there. And we'll take a look at that. But as the blood upon the right ear symbolizes the dedication of the dedication of what we hear. There are actually two parts or two aspects of this part of the dedication. We can choose what we hear. Now, with that said, not all we hear can be chosen. But when we can choose, then we prefer to listen to that which pleases the one to whom these ears are dedicated. And in the Old Testament, we notice here with the setting apart of the priest that it went from the ear to the thumb to the toe, and we're going to discuss all of that here in a moment. But isn't it far greater then as we begin our walk with Jesus Christ in the New Testament that it's not just the ear, it's not just the thumb, it's not just the toe, but our whole body is buried with him in baptism as we arise to walk in that new life? But how does that happen? Where do we get those ideas? Where does that get into our mind? The ear is one way that we get knowledge to our brain. We hear something that penetrates our minds, and then it goes from there. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 32 and 33 says this, "Now therefore, O sons, listen to me, for blessed are they who keep my ways. Heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it." If you're a parent, you've said it once, you've said it 1,000 times. Now listen to me. Now listen to me. Do you hear me? Are you even paying attention to what I say? And I can't help but think that our God and Father in heaven says the same thing to us. Do you get it? Are you paying attention? Are you listening? And sometimes we have to make that discernment very quickly. There are times we're allowed to pray on it and we get to think about it. But there are other times that we have to make decisions pretty quickly. And so that's where our training comes in from what we have heard personally before that, up until that point. The cricket and the bat both create a similar ultrasound that at times can sound quite similar to one another. In other words, we may say, "Do you hear those crickets?" And it may not be a cricket. It may be a bat. The cricket makes the sound for this reason. They're in search of a mate. The bat makes that sound in search of a meal. Big difference. When the cricket hears the rebuttal of his love chirp, he must decide in an instant if that ultrasound that he is detecting is friend or foe. If that is a chirp for a mate or a chirp for a meal. And they have to determine that quickly. So he must listen carefully. He must listen intently. And if he chooses poorly, it costs him his life. And if he chooses widely, well, then it leads that cricket to what he's looking for. One decision made in an instant, almost made in a heartbeat, is the difference between life and death. Aren't you glad you're not a cricket? It's the difference between having baby crickets and being bat bait when it comes down to his life. And so as we think of that, so many times we may hear something. Something may be said. And we have but just a moment sometimes to make the right decision. Oh, if it's like most of us, we'll jump to an answer, but we may have to retract that and come back because we were wrong. But if it's a life and death situation, it's over if we've made the wrong decision. We can respond to what we have heard as if we are acting in the place of God, for indeed we are. The order of anointing is meaningful because they start with the ear. It is what we hear. It's what we take in. It's what we're told. It's what we're taught that begins the motive and the movement for the rest of the body. The hand and the foot move in response to what is heard. So it's not that Moses started at the ear because, well, that was closer to the top and easier to start there. He started there with purpose. He started there with reason. And he started there for much of the same reason for us today, to take it in, to listen, to hear, so that it would penetrate our minds and become what ultimately dictates our life, our actions, the way that we live. It moves from the ear then to the thumb. In reality, it represents the entire hand. It represents our actions. It represents what we do, how we do things, why we do it. Many times, and I'm pretty sure most of you have figured this out, that there is a difference between a man and a woman. That men sometimes are a little more rough and calloused. That they're are times that we do need to deal with a sympathetic and compassionate touch. The thought here is that the servants of God must go into action. When we hear, when we're told, when we are directed, when we are guided by God's message, by His words, that we just don't sit there as we're doing right now. Right? As we just sit there. There's a time where we go. G.K. Chesterton noted, "I do not believe in a fate that falls on men however they act. But I do believe in a fate that falls on them unless they act." The Apostle James says it this way, and Josh started in James today, in James chapter 3, but this is James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. It says, "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls." Some translations may say engrafted. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of a person he was. But one who looks intently on the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. It starts with what you hear, but it can't stop there. Well, I've been told what I need to do, then do it. Well, I've been given instruction on how to get this job done, then do it. Then you've got to put it to work. We just can't stand there. You have to do something. You have to do something. And that something is based on what we hear. And how do we know what we ought to do? Romans 10:17 says, "Then so our faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Are you letting the word of God dictate your life? How does it go from, you don't have an ear on your thumb, so how does that happen? You have to listen, you have to process it, and then you put your hands to work accordingly. And then it takes us to the toe. This is talking about the places that we go. It represents the direction our lives are headed in. It's once been said that you show me a man with both feet on the ground, and I'll show you a man that can't put his pants on. Right? Yeah, I know, this might be a joke, but it's kind of ironic. How many times in the Scripture are we told to stand firm? Quite a few times. Stand firm, stand firm. But then we know in our Christian walk that we need to move forward, that we need to go. And so how does that happen? How do we do that? Well, it goes back to hearing once again. We've got to decipher that out. We've got to come to the knowledge and get to know the difference on, I guess, as the old Kenny Rogers song says, you've got to know when to walk away and you got to know when to run. But in the church, as a Christian, you've also got to know when it's time to stand still and when it's time to stand firm, to take that stand. And that's, once again, is where God's word comes in. In Psalm chapter 86 and verse 11, the psalmist writes this, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth." How are we expected to know? How are we expected to know which way to walk, what direction to go? He tells us there from God's word. We just finished that up looking at that at Romans 10:17. So then our faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of God. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. We live in a country and we live in a world that not too many people fear God with the healthy respect that he needs and deserves for us to show him. If we follow the Lord's direction, we'll be led, as Scripture says, in paths of light. If we stray, our paths will get dark in a hurry. And it's a reminder to us, and there's so many times that those little kid songs that we sing and that they're taught when they're 3 and 4 and 5 years old that have such great meaning and power behind them, but oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. There are times that our feet should lead us to service. And there are times that our feet should lead us away from temptation. I want for you to understand, you will go in the direction in which you are carried. And so what's going to carry you? What's going to make your feet go? As Christians, in that comparison again to children, if you've had raised multiple children, eventually somewhere along the line, one of the siblings, you know, like touches the other sibling, and it's, you know, Mom, Dad, they're touching me. Well, why did you do that? And the child's response, I don't know. Right? I don't know. Do we really think that that's going to work for us with the Lord on the judgment day? Why did you go here? Why did you do that? Why did you participate in this activity? I don't know. As parents, then you do your best to train those children so that if they are going to touch them, you let them know why, right? Because they were being stupid or something like that, you know? You let them know. You train them. And Christians, we need to be trained as well. And we do that by the Word of God. We do that by those that we are gathered around and learn from as well, and what we allow for ourselves to be taught. We will go whichever way we are carried. We train our walk by what we let our ears listen to. A gentleman by the name of Giuseppe Garibaldi was an Italian military leader who wrote a book entitled The Hero of Two Worlds. He had an incredibly committed volunteer army. He would appeal for recruits in these terms. So imagine this. Imagine if you're trying to get someone to become a Christian and you use this terminology. He did this for soldiers. I offer neither pay, nor quarters, nor provisions. I offer hunger, thirst, forced marches, battles, and death. But let him who loves his country with his heart and not with his lips only follow me. But you know, in a roundabout way, that's exactly what Jesus said. That you must love everything more than me. You must be willing to put everything aside. Jesus invites us to live a life as a Christian for him. Jesus lets us know up front that it is a commitment that will cost you something. As a matter of fact, it's a commitment that will cost you everything. He lets us know that it's not going to be easy. And if we were trying to paraphrase Garibaldi here, we'd say, let him who loves the Lord with his heart and not with his lips only become Jesus' disciples. To become a follower of his. To become one who puts him first. And how does that start? By our ears. By hearing. By paying attention. By taking those things that have been shared and putting them into our mind, into our hearts, into our development, so that we train what we do, so that we train our feet for where we go. All throughout Scripture, we find those that have been trained, whether it's Joseph, who was trained to run away when led by temptation, whether it was Daniel, who was trained to stand firm when faced with the challenges placed before him, or whether it's we as Christians today, that each and every day as we live our life, that we do so in such a way that we consider what goes in. There's a term, I don't hear it so much anymore in the computer language, but it used to be garbage in, garbage out. What you put in is what you're going to get out. We put garbage in, you're going to get garbage out. We make bad decisions, it's because we've had terrible thoughts. We do things that are wrong and lead us away from the work of the Lord. It's because we've allowed for that to penetrate our minds. We go places we shouldn't go. It's because we haven't discerned right and wrong and being an example. We must learn from the setting apart, the ordination, the consecration, the becoming a follower of the Lord set forth in Leviticus. Is the same thing that we, as Christians, live our life by today. That what we hear affects what we do and affects where we go. And ultimately, in the end, will affect where we go. There's a plan of salvation given in the Scripture that tells us that we need to believe that Jesus is the Christ. John chapter 8, verse 24 says, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Upon that belief then, we realize that it was our life, our sin, our failure that put Jesus Christ on the cross. Luke 13:3 says, I tell you no, but unless you repent, that you're sorry, that you change your mind, you change your ways of action, that you will all likewise perish. That we need to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. This confession idea, the Greek word homologeo, as we come and we lay aside, we understand, we agree with the Lord. Not that he has agreed with us, but that we agree with him in what he says. That we are immersed, that we are baptized into Jesus Christ. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not, or he that has believed or has disbelieved, shall be condemned. And then to be faithful. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. As we've shared before, every one of those passages of Scripture is a quote from Jesus. This is what Jesus asks us to do. We say, well, I'm a red letter edition person. I follow the words of Jesus Christ. Well, if that's what you need, I believe the whole Bible is purchased with his blood. But if that's what you need, every one of those things is what Jesus said that we need to do to be obedient to him. It starts with what you hear. Are you going to put it into action? By your hands? By your feet? By what you do? By where you go? As we said and saw earlier, that it's by the way you let your light shine for the Lord then. Will you stand with us as they lead us in our song of invitation this morning? If you're here and you're outside of Jesus Christ, if you're here and you want to know more about Jesus Christ, if you're here and you understand that what is said and what is done, how we go, where we go, how we go about it is all affected by what we hear, and we want to hear what God's word is, then that's where we got to go. We got to find it. And if we don't know where to go to find it, then ask someone. We'd be more than happy to talk with you about being obedient to Jesus Christ. Will you stand and sing with us our song of invitation?